I want to do that again. I want to do it even more Pentecostal. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I put my hope in God and I praise Him again, my Savior and my God. Amen. That's who we serve. Praise God for the claps. I saw no hankies. Next time I'll do it even more Pentecostal. Do a little right? Oh, Holy Ghost, right? Everything has an I'm just playing. That's weird. Y'all laugh because it is weird. You've seen it before on TV. You're like, what? That guy's adding all kinds of letters. That guy's talking like I spell. That's how bad it is. No, there's not an extra A at everything, buddy. Okay. It's a silent A. This is the month of April in 2020 new, and our theme is this changes everything. Why? Because Jesus gives us resurrecting hope. Life's greatest challenges are best faced when we have hope of Jesus' power and His presence living with us and in us. The holy days of Passover and Easter are first and foremost celebrations of hope. This is a time to remember God's deliverance for all who cry out and to celebrate God's eternal hope. We're all living in a time that is running short. Come on, all you eschatologists. I know you're like, yeah, it's my favorite, right? True. Favorite because it's true. Prophecy is unfolding in front of our eyes every single day. And guess what? If you know that and you've read about it, you better be the best preaching person that we have ever met. You better be spreading the gospel more than anyone has ever seen. This is the time that you know personally. This is the time to get on fire and to preach Christ crucified. Give people hope, right? When we see disaster around us and the world is crashing in, it is the perfect prime time to preach hope. What it is. We live in a time and it's running short. The Bible and the hope revealed in its pages is needed today. Just as it has been needed so many times before. Church, do you ever feel like this? Feel like something you're looking forward to is exciting and it's wonderful, and then all of a sudden it's derailed by circumstances that you didn't plan for? Right? And if you have a nice mama, she goes, tough, that's life, right? Right, you know that good friend. Welcome to life, buddy. Right? I know. Come on now, give me some sympathy. Or maybe you've been excited about something and you've been looking forward to something, and then it was derailed by hurtful things that others said. Now a great disappointment seems to be ahead instead of this great anticipation that you were hoping for. Kind of similar to what happened to the ones that loved and followed Jesus the first Holy Week. A triumphant entrance into the city with expectation and excitement that the King is here. He's here to conquer all things and set us free once and for all. Hope is full because of the excitement for what God is going to do in the holy city. But then, things don't go as planned. Jesus kept telling his followers that something terrible is going to happen soon. And it has to happen so something glorious can come out of it. They had a hard time, his disciples, his followers, the ones that loved him, had a hard time seeing the whole picture. It's just like what we go through. We have something we look forward to until it's derailed by things that we didn't expect. We may have already been celebrating, right? We're in the middle of celebrating, and then all of a sudden it just fizzles out. Or just totally takes a turn for the worse. Things that we thought could happen, but we didn't want to really acknowledge that they could because we were hoping that they wouldn't, but they did, and it happened anyway. Where is our hope now? Things didn't go as expected. There's our hope. Things aren't looking like what we planned for. Where's our hope? Things seem to be caving in. Where is our hope? Church, let me remind you, we're all going to have times in our lives that, like the disciples had 2,000 years ago, in a week like this one. Excitement can turn into tragedy. We just talked about that. If you were late this morning, you missed it, but everybody's hitting up the club last night, having a great time, partying it up. Till about 1 something in the morning, somebody came with a gun to mess it up. People died, many people hurt. Excitement turned into tragedy. The hope can feel derailed by seeing things in front of us that we didn't expect. They didn't expect Jesus to be hanging on a cross 5 days after a parade. They didn't expect to run and hide and betray the one that they loved the most. They didn't expect to go back to their old way of living after following Jesus for years. But it happened. They couldn't see the whole picture yet. The picture of hope. Let's dig into God's word together. Amen? On Palm Sunday, open to Mark chapter 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. These are the four first books of God's word in the New Testament. We're going to open to the second book, Matthew, Mark, Mark chapter 11. Just so you know that the Bible was not written with chapters and verses, right? And there weren't different versions either. There were different languages, just a couple. But they put the chapters in the verses because otherwise they'd be like, all right, everyone open up the same Bible, go about halfway through, and then go about 10 more, and then go to the bottom and the left, and then, you know, it's just easier. Right, Mark chapter 11, you all open it your own way. That's where we're at. We're going to look at the last Sunday that Jesus spent in Jerusalem in Mark 11. We're going to read the first verse and go through 7. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethage and Bethany and the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent his two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. So Jesus says, hey, go to Walmart, third aisle, snatch that. No one's ever bought it before, okay? I'm just joking. There's purpose in this, check it out. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it and we'll send it back here shortly. Can you imagine you're in Walmart? Hey, God needs it, right? Okay, cool, you go for it, no. Don't you use that. Don't you use God's word. Man, many of us, don't we use God's word for our own gain? Or you use it against somebody. That's not what it's for. It's for hope. It's for life. To bring life. Do not use it against somebody. Okay? It's free. Hallelujah. Verse 4. They went and found a colt outside the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered as Jesus told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Okay. So the sun is rising rapidly. Just ahead is a new day, a hopeful day to be spent in history-filled Jerusalem. The festive season of Passover is here. The time to celebrate together is here. For 1,200 years now, everything has changed because God has provided. God protected because God freed us from Egyptian slavery. Praise Yahweh. This is what the Jews said when they celebrated 2,000 years ago. But everything was about to change again for them. Change with a man named Jesus entering the holy city, sitting on a donkey. The old city of Jerusalem is now filled with pilgrims, visitors, travelers, who all came from many countries to share in this wonderful feast. They all came to the same place, remembering what God has done in the past. Now, the secular census records, they indicated there was at least 2 million people in Jerusalem for this event. Also, right, when I read that and studied that this week, I don't know about you, but when I thought about like Passover and all the pictures that I get and all the movies that I watch, right? I think, hey, maybe there's 1,000, 2,000, 4,000. This says there was over 2 million people in this city. Now all these people are coming to gather and there's this rumor going on. Have you heard? Have you heard? Guess what? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I think he's coming to the party. Oh, I gotta tell somebody. Now, behind Jesus were his sermons. Ahead was his suffering. Behind him were his parables, and ahead of him was his passion. Behind him were meals of fellowship. Ahead is the Last Supper of betrayal. Behind the celebrations of the Galileans, ahead a dark time at Gethsemane. Prophecy was now become practice. As I was studying this week, and I just want to point out a couple things that I observed when I was reading Mark chapter 11. And here's the first thing, and it's very interesting. It's actually two things that are very interesting in when Jesus entered the Holy Week, right? A morning like this one, at a time right around this time, and he was walking in, or he was riding in to Holy Week, and there's some interesting things here that the Savior of the world, the promised Messiah, chose to ride in on a lowly donkey. It's interesting. It wasn't a glorious steed or a decorated chariot. Instead, his vehicle of choice was a humble donkey. All right, let's read it again, Mark 11, 1 through 7. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're doing this, say, the Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside the street tied to a doorway. In some versions it says, as just like Jesus said. And they untied it. Some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? Hey, that ain't yours. They answered, as Jesus told them, the Lord needs it. We'll bring it back. And people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus, they threw their cloaks, right, their coats over it. And he sat on it. Jesus, who could have rode on the wind, who could have had angels carry him in, chose a donkey. Jesus didn't come riding on a glorious chariot, right? How do most, we see in the, and we read about, how do most kings come into a city? Prince Ali, Ali, Asi, Ali, Ababwa, right? Great example. You have to admit, that's a great example.
With swords.
Okay, that's my favorite part. Right, he just come in. That's how kings enter cities. If they have a genie, I'm just like, some of you aren't laughing. That's Aladdin. It's a cartoon. It's from the 90s. They remade it. The new one's really cool too. And did you know Jasmine's actually a believer? Anyway, in the new one. But most of the time, kings, they enter in, boom, boom, look at me. And they walk in. I am here. I have arrived. It's very interesting that Jesus chose a humble donkey. He didn't ride on a glorious chariot. He didn't have 1,000 bad guys with swords. He didn't prance on a white stallion. Instead, he was on a colt. And that animal is actually associated with peace. Judges used to ride that into cities. Jesus had all authority to just demand what he wanted to use to enter that city. You, give me this. You, get this. Or even angels could have brought it to him. Anything he wanted, he could have had. But here's another interesting thing that Jesus did. He chose to ask his disciples to go untie a donkey and bring it to him. Our God had the integrity to make his request through his disciples, through the ones that are following him. He had the humility to do what God was requiring him to do, and Jesus he chose to include us, his followers, in an important part of God's divine redemption plan. Isn't that interesting? Today, every true follower of the Lord and supporter of His has a cause that is needed. God requires many things out of us. He asks things from us. Maybe there's a simple request like, go and tie that donkey and bring it to me, so I can enter the city and I can save the world. Seems simple, but to God, it's all part of His plan. I'm going to ask you some questions. Are some of the resources needed by Jesus being held by you as a follower of His? Or maybe, church, maybe you are that resource. Our Lord Jesus has need for us to pray and study and give and guide and love others and financially support His cause. These kind of kingdom things we should do. How should we do them? Willingly, eagerly, spontaneously, with a happy, cheerful heart, and without thought, without recognition, and without promotion. If you do it with the wrong heart, you did it for the wrong person. Come on now. That's from the Holy Ghost. Maybe your job is to get the donkey, or maybe your job is to be the donkey. Whatever it is, we're called to carry Jesus into places where people are lost without Him. Jesus uses us in many capacities to carry His hope to where people are. Now, no matter how humble it may seem to man, whatever simple thing that you may think, oh, I don't know, that seems so simple. That seems so silly. That seems so insignificant. Don't diminish what God is calling you to do. It's all part of His divine plan. Amen? Amen. I want to talk about another thing that I saw in Mark chapter 11 in the first few verses. If there's two types of people that were surrounding Jesus this very first Palm Sunday. Two types. In Mark 11, we're going to read together verses 8, 9, and 10. This is what it says. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches that they had cut off in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed, they shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Now we notice here there are two groups of people. Those who went ahead, okay? They came from out from Jerusalem because there was curiosity as a result of all that were shouting. Man, what's all that noise? What's going on? People are shouting, Hosanna, what's going on? And they come out and they get in front. And then there's those who followed and they shouted. Those people were the Galileans. Now here's a fun fact about the Galileans. They were known as the common folk, the common people. These were considered to be the unsophisticated people of the area. But they were also the people where Jesus spent most of his time. Are you hearing me, church? They are also the people where Jesus performed most of his miracles, and Jesus was loved by them. Okay? Now, because we weren't there to witness this amazing event, and Disney didn't make a movie about this part, we don't know. We read this and we assume that the two crowds are actually one. They're the same thing. But in fact, one crowd is yelling Hosanna now, while the other crowd is preparing to chant, Crucify Him! Just a few more days down the road. Now within the city of Jerusalem resided the wealthy and the religious leaders, the ones that got it going on. The important ones. The ones that go before Jesus are usually the superficial religious. When time gets too hard or personal gain is at stake, they turn their backs on him and they join the shouts of the world. The crowd that goes before him, they want to use him. The zealots wanted him to be their military liberator. They had politics over servanthood. They wanted him for their own personal agenda, and they wanted him for their own personal gain. They wanted to use him for what they thought was important and not what God came there for. The ones that went before him, they even ignored him. Many in power felt superior over this lowly Nazarene, and they sought to ignore him because they felt that they were better than him, that they knew better than him. Now, the ones that went behind, that followed Jesus, they love Jesus. They humbly go by his leading while praising him along the path. The crowd that went behind wants to obey him. They wanted to worship him while they followed him in obedience. So, church, you got one crowd, okay? One crowd, a lifestyle of praise. And then you have another, a lifestyle of open shame. We all identify with one of these two crowds. And maybe different parts of our life or different phases of our life or different seasons of our life, we identify with one crowd better than the other. But I want to tell you, identity is not only found in words, church. Identity is found in lifestyle. So it's possible you're trying to blend in with the crowd even this morning, saying Hosanna with your mouth, but your lifestyle says differently. It says crucify him. Now, Passover was a celebration commemorating the deliverance of the Jewish people from Egyptian captivity. It was always occurring on the 15th of the Jewish month of Nisan. Guess what? That's about mid-April for us. Coincidentally, that's right now. Isn't that cool? Right? Sometimes we have Easter on March, and sometimes we have it late April. But this time, we have Easter, we have Passover, Holy Week celebration in the middle of April, the same as they celebrated 2,000 years ago. Now, all who lived within 20 miles of Jerusalem, they were required to attend. You must attend. But Jews from all over the world gladly gathered for this incredible celebration. They look forward to it. This massive celebration has millions entering the holy city, so they got to prepare for it. Anybody have people over during Thanksgiving? Raise your hand. I mean, you just clean this and clean that and do this and make that and put that there and if you have a lot of pillows, which we might, you got to put them all over, spread them out so nobody can sit down. I don't get it, but if she wants it, whatever. Bigger fish to fry, hallelujah. Which I might have to fry later by saying that, hallelujah. But you got to prepare for the party. Prepare for the celebration, right? Get it all in order. Make something smell good. Cook it all up. Make sure you dress nice. Make sure you're welcoming. Make sure you're ready to receive the people. Are there enough places? Are there enough things? Is everything clean enough? Whatever, right? So just like this, 2,000 years ago, they had to prepare the place. What happened is people were repairing the streets. They were whitewashing the tombs. They were preparing the city. And everyone prepared their best clothes and food in anticipation for what's about to take place. But just like we see here, it doesn't matter what you prepare for if your heart is not in the right place. You're going to miss it. You're going to be disappointed. You might lose sight of what you're preparing for. Some of the same people that repaired things, and washed things, and put on nice clothes and prepared food are the same ones that are just about a few days later to yell, "Crucify him! Crucify him! We want Barabbas! Crucify Jesus!" Like the first Palm Sunday, life has a lot to do with our positioning. Are you trying to go before Jesus to tell him what he can do and where he can go, where he can do things in your life? Right, Jesus? No. Jesus, you follow me. We're going this way. We're going to do this thing. I don't want to talk today. I don't want to share today. I want to do my own thing. I'm uncomfortable. Jesus, you follow me. Or are you behind the Messiah calling out his praises as you follow him wherever he wants to go and whatever he wants to do, going places that he wants to go? See, life has a lot to do with your positioning and your conditioning of your heart toward Jesus. Jesus rode into Jerusalem to the chance of, Lord, save us now. In case you didn't know, that's what Hosanna means. When you say Hosanna, you're saying, Lord, save us now. If you want that, will you just say Hosanna? Yeah. Lord, save us now. Now, Jesus did what he did, knowing full well what was coming for him, what was in store for him just down that road. He knew the sacrifice he was making, the perfect sacrifice that was necessary to bring about a new reality for all of us. Riding on that donkey, Jesus entered Jerusalem in humility so the poor and the oppressed who were casting palm branches saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, on the road before him, Hosanna, Hosanna, that they might have hope. He's here. Save us now. Save us now. Jesus rode toward his own self-sacrifice. Think about that. When's the last time you drove, rode, walked, talked to your own self-sacrifice? That hits me. He rode toward his own self-sacrifice in order to bring life to all that would choose to follow him. And the Bible tells us there is no greater love than that. John 15:13 says that there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus made his ultimate sacrifice out of love. And his love that will keep us through going through anything that we go through and anything that we can face. His love and his sacrifice is the source of our hope, church. This week is the start of the hope that outlives our disappointments, the hope that outlives our plans, the hope that outlives our letdowns, the hope that outlives any and all situations. When Jesus Christ rose from the grave, which is just 1 week from now. Come on now. Easter, baby. Easter, the best, right? The whole reason why we're here. The reason why you celebrate is Easter, man. If you don't come on Easter, I don't know. If you don't come on Easter, I don't know what we're doing. Bring a friend. Bring a friend. Somebody needs to hear the gospel message next week. They got to hear the salvation. They need hope, right? Hope's riding in today. But hope is for all people next week. Jesus Christ rose from the grave 1 week from now, and all things were changed. Everything changed. All things were made new. Hope wasn't just reactivated, right? See, that's the thing with we're actually in this too. Think about the Israelites, right? So how many, they get a word, right? And then all of a sudden, sometimes they get a word, they get a word, they get a word, they get a word, and they hear nothing. Maybe even hundreds of years. And they get a word, and they get a word, and they get a word, and their hope, man, they got to hold on to this hope for so long sometimes. And here we are, Jesus ascended to heaven 2,000 years ago, sent the Holy Spirit, praise God, to be around us, in us, through us, and upon us. But we're waiting. Hosanna. We're still saying Hosanna because we're waiting for the second coming of Christ. Lord, save us now. But man, it's getting dark. It's getting nasty out there. It's getting scary. But we don't live with a spirit of fear. We live with power, power from the Holy Ghost, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, which we celebrate 1 week from now, is literally the same power because it's the same God. It's the Holy Spirit in you. So I don't live with a spirit of fear. I live with power. And not only that, I'm not going to act a fool, think a fool. I'm going to live with a sound mind. I ain't crazy. Y'all crazy by doing the same things and wanting God to change something, but you just keep doing the same thing. I got a sound mind. I got to do something different. That's why I chose to follow Jesus. What I was doing didn't work. What he does, I was always in front of him as he walked into the city telling him what to do. That doesn't work. Because guess what? You go left, he goes right. It don't work that way. I chose to follow Jesus. I don't live with a spirit of fear, but of power and a sound mind. And I live with love. Not because I have anything special, but because I was loved first. Right? He came to love us first. I didn't deserve it. Y'all didn't deserve it, right? Look at your name and say, you didn't deserve it. That's cold-hearted. That's mean. Come on now. That's cold-hearted. You better say something nice to him now. Look to him and say something nice. But he did it anyway. But he did it anyway. But he did it anyway. Some of y'all need to change your ways. You only turned once, and it was in the beginning. You didn't turn and say something nice. Okay. Get to the altar right now if that was you. Hallelujah. Man, all things were changed because Jesus rode in on a donkey 2,000 years ago in celebration of what's about to take place. All things were made new. Hope wasn't just reactivated, right? It wasn't just reactivated. Oh, God spoke to me here. He spoke to me here, and it's been dry. It's been dry. I need it to be reactivated. No, with Jesus, we don't have to wait on a word. He's the living word. Hope was never lost again because he came 2,000 years ago on a donkey for us. It was never lost again, and it never will be. What Christ did for us on Holy Week is the reason why no matter what we face in life, we will never, ever, say never, church. You will never run out of hope. Never. You might forget about it. You might turn left and he went right. You might need another sermon like this to be reminded of what Jesus did so that way you might have hope. You might have not been in church in a long time and all of a sudden you came this morning, you're going to come next week, or you've been a couple weeks before that, and you're like, oh, yes, I remember why I went to church. Right? I remember why. It's because I need the hope of my salvation. And faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. You don't got no faith because you ain't hearing the word of God. And this is the word of God. This hope started with Holy Week. It started today. It started with an amazing entry into a holy city on Palm Sunday. It's for you, Mike. I hope y'all remember that. You look down at your hand, you're like, ah, Palm Sunday. Ooh, somebody needs to raise them palms on Sunday. Don't just come singing. All right? You think people in heaven, I'm saying don't step out, don't feel pressured, do what God's calling you to do. But you think people in heaven just sitting, watching other people worship? You think people in heaven are just standing there, their arms down and looking bored out of their mind, going, what are people yelling about? Well, man, yeah. Who's that shiny guy in front of us with all the white on? Right? Come on now, you can join heaven. You can join heaven. You can do some Palm Sunday. Hallelujah. Okay. That's free. Set somebody free today. Join in the celebration. This amazing hope that we have today started with an amazing entry into the holy city on Palm Sunday. But then a few days later, there was a great sacrifice, church. But that sacrifice put in motion our eternal freedom. This morning, I want us to remember together what Jesus was willingly to walk into on Friday, on Thursday, on Wednesday, on Tuesday, on Monday, even on Saturday. What Jesus was willing to face, right? There's still Jews to this day that celebrate the first Exodus. The mass exodus, the leaving of people out of captivity for freedom. But they celebrate an event. We get to celebrate a lifestyle of freedom. They celebrate an event that happened 3,200 years ago. We celebrate what is happening this morning, tomorrow, yesterday, for all of eternity. It even says it happened before. This is, you can't get your head around it. You can't explain it. You're going to have to ask God when you get there. That it says in God's word that Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. So he was slain. The plan was in place before there was sin in place. That tells you that freedom in Christ Jesus will never run out, and it's always been there. So this morning, we're celebrating Passover, the blood of the Lamb. You know, they put it on the doorpost so that the spirit of death would pass on. Right? What we celebrate here in a moment, this blood represents that the spirit of death passes over you, because you'll live forever. Because you have a place in God's house if Jesus Christ is your Lord and you chose to follow him and not be in front of him. What we're about to celebrate in just a moment is the innocent dying for the guilty. Jesus, the Lamb of God, dying for people like you and me that don't deserve it. I didn't deserve it today. I didn't deserve it yesterday. No matter what I do, I don't deserve it. But he did it anyway, because he loves me and he loves you. And guess what happened? When Jesus died, willingly died and rose from the grave, there was a mass exodus again of our sins. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 24, "For what I pass on to you, I have received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" You take out your piece of bread. Now, we have a thing called open communion here at First Open Bible. What that means is you don't have to be a member of First Open Bible. You have to be a member of the church, which means you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian and you're not living your life for Jesus, don't take this. The Bible says it will curse you because you don't get it. You don't get it. Not yet. You don't get it yet. But if you know who Jesus is, we're going to take this together and we're going to remember what was paid for 2,000 years ago, starting by entering a city on a donkey. Let me pray over this. Father, we thank you that you send your son Jesus, your begotten son, your one begotten son, that he would come. And he'd willingly do the things that he did and lead us in the ways that he did, but he willingly laid down his life for us. Jesus, thank you for what you chose to do. It even says in your word, it says, "If this cup can pass from me, let it. But it's not my will that's going to be done, the Father's will." So as we remember, we don't only remember what you did, but we also remember what we're called to do. You're our example in how to live. And you lived sacrificially, even with the worst possible thing to happen, tortured and accused and beaten for something you didn't do. But we remember this morning that you were willing to do that and lay down your life. And what that does is it brings us hope. Hope that whatever we face, whatever we go through, you understand, you're there, and you get us through it. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Now as we partake, we just remember the sacrifice you made. In Jesus' name, go ahead and take it. I'm going to keep reading in 1 Corinthians 11. Now we're going to open the juice. By the way, I have an opportunity for you for a business. You can make better juice and put these in the cups. We will immediately buy from you. First Corinthians 11, 25 through 26. "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup saying, 'This cup is my new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again his hope. Hope. So this blood represents a lot. It represents a sacrificial death, but it also represents a mass exodus of your sins. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you follow him, what you're saying is, I remember what you did for me, and I don't have to live like this anymore, because you're the hope of my salvation. You are my freedom. What you paid for, what is still on that cross and still dead in the grave, it is no longer with me, because you're alive. And because you're alive, I can live better, I can live different, and I can live free. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. Thank you for the blood that covers all of our sins. Thank you for the blood that you poured out for our iniquities, our sickness, and our diseases. Thank you for changing our minds and our hearts. Thank you that I don't have to keep living the same way I've been living, because your blood is enough. The perfect sacrificial lamb died and set us free. And not only do we remember all those things, we also remember that the spirit of death will pass over us as we will live with you for eternity, because you're our salvation. Not because of what we did, because of what you did. Not because we first loved you, but you first loved us, and you were willing to die for us. We remember this. Father, we thank you for your son. Jesus, we thank you that you poured out your life for us. We remember today. We remember our hope. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're convicting our hearts even now of the sins that we're living with that we don't have to. Because Jesus already paid it, but we can't keep doing it on our own. We must be reminded of our hope. Our hope is found in Christ Jesus. He already paid it. You don't have to live like that anymore. We thank you, Jesus, for what you did. You may partake. Amen. Now you have witnessed the business opportunity that you have before you. Hallelujah. Worship team, can you come back up, please? I'm going to say a few more things, and we're going to go out celebrating the hope of our salvation. Hallelujah. Church, I want to give you some good news this morning. Will you look at me? Hallelujah. You want some good news?
Yeah.
Came to the right place. Came to the right God. You came to the right answers. Church, we're never too far from hope. You cannot be too far from hope. Church, you're never going to be too blind to not see hope. It's right there. You're never going to be too destroyed by circumstances to be built back up by hope. It's here. Hope that is only found in the King that is riding in on a lowly donkey. We can find our hope in the King that is not dead, for he is surely alive. Our Messiah is alive. Amen. I want you to repeat after me. You are alive. In the world today. In my circumstances. You are alive. In me. Help me live that way. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you just got to prophesy to your situation, right? I'm going to give you something free this morning. If you're sick and you don't have anybody to lay hands on you, guess what? You got hands. We just learned this morning. You got palms. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Pray in the Holy. You don't know what to. If you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, you're missing out. We're going to talk about that. Pentecost is coming, but we're going to be talking about that. But right now, if you pray over your body, pray over whatever's going on, because Jesus paid it. But if you know how to pray in the Holy Ghost, you know how to pray with the evidence of tongues, you know how to pray a perfect language that only God knows. The devil can't even interpret. He doesn't know what's going on. And your spirit is groaning for the things that you're facing. And so if you got to lay hands on yourself, and maybe it's not a sickness that the doctor says, maybe it's a sickness that's all up in your family. Maybe there's a root of bitterness. Maybe there's a root of unforgiveness. Maybe there's a root of poverty. Maybe there's a root of wrong thinking. Maybe there's a root of being depressed or whatever it is. Lay hands on yourself, pray in the Holy Ghost, and God's going to show up. Why? Because you have that hope. The Bible says so. Says you can do it. Greater is He that is in you than anything or ever has happened or ever will happen in the world. Man, the King that came into our lives on Palm Sunday in a humble way is the same King that soon will be coming back in a triumphant way, right? We serve the King of all hope. Will you stand with me, church, as I just declare before we go? We serve the King of all hope. We serve the King of all glory. We serve the King of ultimate victory because He is alive. I want to read this one last time before we go. Psalm 42:11. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. I'm going to say it one more time. And if you believe that, when you say amen, what that means is I agree. Let it be done. God, let it be in my life. Let it be something I think about. Let it be something that I experience. Let me walk out today changed. Let me walk out today full of hope. Let me walk out today not discouraged, not full of sadness, not full of fear, but walk out a changed person as if just I walked out of that grave like Jesus did 2,000 years ago. I'm made brand new. I am not the same. I don't have to live the same. I don't got to live like my auntie, my uncle, my cousin. I don't got to live like the neighbors. I got something to say. I got something to live for, and I got to spread the gospel. Fill me full of Your hope, God, because other people need the hope. We live in a hopeless generation, but I can bring hope for all generations because Jesus outlives all things. He's alive right now, and He's alive in me. God, I just thank You. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again. My Savior, He's my God. Let's worship the King. Hallelujah.